One of the things that I enjoy most in life is meeting new people, having the chance to connect with them, bond, and form memories. Just, I love building relationships with people. That also makes it really hard for me to say goodbye, unfortunately. So a couple years ago, I was in the airport and I was about to go through security. I was picking up my carry-on bag, put it on the conveyor belt, slipped my shoes off, took my jacket off, put that on the conveyor belt so that it could pass through for inspection. And I turned around for one last look at my grandparents, one last glimpse, just a chance to, you know, wave, say goodbye, just call out one more time. And as I started to turn around, I noticed that my vision was kind of blurry. It wasn't clear anymore, and oh, I was trying my best not to cry. But as soon as I turned around and I saw my grandmother's face, I saw that her eyes were also filled with tears, and not only were they filled, but the tears were starting to come down her face. My eyes just overflowed, the tears started flowing, and I just sobbed as I was going through security. As I reached the end of the conveyor belt, wasn't really thinking, my thoughts were just all jumbled. I was thinking about how much I would be missing them, how it'd be another 2 years until I'd probably see them again. Collected my things, put my jacket back on, put my shoes back on, and I turned around for one last look. I wanted to run back and give them a hug so badly, but I knew that I'd have to walk through those opaque glass doors, and then after that, it'd be a couple years till I saw them again. So, turned around, one last look, tears streaming down both of our faces, said our final goodbyes, and then I walked through the gate. Even though my grandparents live on the other side of the world and I'm now back here at home, that doesn't change anything about the love that they have for me and the love that I have for them. In the same way, or in a very similar way, God loves us and we share a love with Him. Even though He's not physically next to us and we can't just reach out and give Him a hug every time we want to or share a meal and sit across from Him at the dinner table, we can see the many ways that He still is in our lives in a very tangible way, whether it's through small acts of kindness that we see in the people that are in our lives, or just seeing cool ways that things will just work out. God stays connected with us, just like, even though I'm here and my grandparents are far away, I know that I can always count on receiving a phone call first thing in the morning on my birthday. They still stay connected with me and I stay connected with them. When I think of love, there's a verse that comes to mind. And that verse is 1 John 4, verse 7. So I'm going to read it to you word for word from my Bible. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." I think that this is super cool because just like I can feel secure in the love that my grandparents have for me and then go out and share that love with the people who are in my immediate proximity, my friends, my immediate family, the people who I interact with on a day-to-day basis, we can be filled and be secure in the love that God has for us. And when we're filled with that love, we can share it to all those who are around us in our daily lives. I really enjoy road trips, and not only because they're great times to have deep conversations with whoever I'm traveling with, but also because it gives me a lot of time to just think and ponder life. So one of the last road trips that I was on gave me some time to think about, what does love mean to me? I wrote down some thoughts on my phone, just took a couple notes, and so I'd like to share that with you. Love is friendship that has caught fire. It's so much more than just a friendship where you're just casually relating to people. It is a quiet understanding. It is mutual confidence. It is sharing and forgiving. It is loyalty in good times and bad times. It is believing in the potential of another person so strongly that you inspire them to become the best version of themselves, and they do the same for you. Love is valuing the relationship enough to grow through your differences and overcome challenges together. Love is waking up and adventuring through each day, knowing that you will always be accepted for who you are at the end of the day. So when I initially wrote this, I had in mind person-to-person love, the type of love that you could share with someone that you're in a relationship with. However, as I thought about it more recently, I realized that there's so many things in there that speak to the love that God has for us. Because since we're created in His image, the love that we share to others and those around us is love that has been shown to us from God. Although airports can sometimes be a sad place, they can also be a place that's very happy and very exciting when you get to reunite with loved ones and friends who you haven't seen in a very long time. As you go throughout your everyday life, I encourage you to look for the little ways that God is showing His love for you. Whether it's through interactions that you have with people, whether it's through nature, or just the tiny things that you see working out in life that you can think, oh man, this is a way that God is really showing me His love. Look for those moments, hold on to them, and let God's love fill your heart. Because as we're filled with the love that God has for us, we can go out and share that love through our interactions with the people that we see in our everyday lives.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for God is love. Love. Love comes from God. You know, they say the first example of God that a child has is her father. And for me, that's definitely true. I experienced love for the first time from my daddy. I am a daddy's girl. I'm my dad's firstborn girl, and I like to think that I'm his favorite. I remember hearing my dad come home from work and hearing the key turn in the lock, click, and running up to the door and saying, "Hi, Daddy," and him saying, "I love you, Nia Bug," and me saying, "I love you, Daddy Lug." And I remember being sick and being sad and wanting my dad's tea. My mom and dad made tea the same way, but I wanted my daddy's tea. Because my dad's tea was laced with love. Now, I can remember lots and lots of experiences of love from my dad growing up, but I experienced a different type recently. This type of love wasn't necessarily as enjoyable, but it was so much more powerful. You see, over the summer, I was talking to my dad, and he said, "Guess what, Nia? We're gonna get you a car." So I'm excited. I am a college student. I have been carless for 3 years. 3 years! That means 3 years of asking other people for Walmart rides. 3 years depending on other people when I just want to be an independent woman. So when he said, "Nia, we're buying you a car," I was excited. I was so happy, and I started looking for cars immediately. I'm a college student, so of course we were looking at used cars. And I honestly only wanted something that runs. I wanted something that the windows worked, the AC worked, and I think the heat needed to work too because I live in Michigan and I don't want to freeze. So I'm looking for cars. I'm searching up and down. I'm going on websites. I'm showing my dad, "Dad, look." And he'd look and say, "Just wait. Just wait." And while I was working, I was looking, I was searching, I didn't see my dad doing anything. Came to believe that I was the only one looking and that my dad wasn't looking anymore. He wasn't working anymore. So the months go by, time flies, and it's almost time for me to go back to school. "Dad, I need a car." "I know. I'm looking. But are you? I haven't seen you look." So the day before school comes and I don't have a car. And I start to cry and I'm like, "I don't have a car. My dad said he was gonna get me a car." I say, "You know what? It's whatever. Doesn't matter." I go off to school and I forget about it. I'm carless. I'm asking for rides to Walmart. I'm asking for rides to my clinical internship. I'm asking for rides to go get some food. I am carless. I am dependent on other people and I am mad. I don't see my dad working. But guess what? He was. I got a text one day from my dad saying, "Check your email. Look at this car. Let me know what you think." And I look at the car and I laugh because I'm like, this car, it's new. Well, it's not quite new, but it's new enough. And this is going to be expensive. It doesn't have many miles on it. What do you mean? We're looking at clunkers. What are you doing looking at a new car? And I just kind of forgot about it. I said, it's a cool car, Dad. Not expecting anything to happen. And then I see the car, and I think it's a great car, but I'm not going to get my hopes up. And then one day I call my dad, and he answers, and he's driving. And I ask him, Dad, what are you doing? What are you driving? Where are you going? And he says, I'm driving your car. You see, my dad had been working. Even when I couldn't see him, my daddy was working because my daddy loves me. And my dad would not let me settle for anything less than what he thought was the best for me. You see, I had to spend time waiting for him to prepare what was even greater for me. You know, the thing about waiting is uncomfortable. Waiting sometimes makes you feel like God isn't there, God doesn't care, God doesn't love you, when in actuality, He's using that time to prepare you. You know, like, that's the ultimate form of love. And even though I had lost faith, even though I had given up, God is faithful even when we are faithless. He didn't stop loving me because I stopped loving Him. And His love isn't meaningless. His love isn't going to go away if I don't do something for Him. Like my love might go away. But His love is forever. His love is perfect. His love is a love that will not allow me to settle for a job opportunity that will just pay the bills. It's a love that will prepare me or prepare a job for me that will fulfill my wildest dreams. You see, God can do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. So that's love. I challenge you to wait patiently and believe that God's love is perfect, to believe God's love never fails, to believe that He can do exceeding abundantly above all that you could even imagine because He loves you that much. So believe it today. That's love.
So I was a student missionary in the Philippines, and where I was in the Philippines, it was way up in the mountains, particularly in the jungles of the Philippines on the island of Palawan. And so what happened was, is we would have to climb all the way up into these mountains to the project where these people live, this native people group that we were working with. And I'll never forget climbing up into those mountains. They were so steep, it was almost like you could stick your hand out and touch the trail in front of you. Super slick, muddy, it was really tough, hard going. It would take hours to get up into this location where our project was at. Anyways, I'll never forget the first day that I went to church there. I walk into this church, it's, you know, we got a bamboo floor, you can see right through the floor. I'm surrounded by all these people who don't look like me, who don't talk like me, who I really have no connection with. And so I go in there and I'm looking around and I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do I connect with these people? You know, this is kind of tough. And so I sit down and I'm just kind of keeping to myself and I see some kids running around and I'm like, well, maybe I can, you know, mess around with these kids for a little bit. And so I go over there and I start messing around and playing with them and, you know, they're laughing and this kind of stuff. But again, I can't speak their language at all. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, Brandon, you know, you've worked at camp for all these years. You got to have something up your sleeve that you can use to get these kids' attention. And so I think, you know what, maybe these kids would like to see a magic trick. And so I pull over one of these smaller kids and I kind of get my hands like this and I go, oh, like that. And he just goes crazy. He's thinking, oh my goodness, this guy who I've never met before, he just took off his finger. Like this is crazy. I've never met someone who could take off their finger before. And so, of course, he brings all his other friends over and, you know, they're like, do it again. And so I go up to him and, you know, I go, like that, and they go crazy. You know, they've never seen this before. And so, of course, they go run around, they're telling the elders and the adults. And so they bring over this one older gentleman, And he comes over, and I can see that he's sort of skeptical looking, you know. He's like, can this guy really take off his finger? And so, you know, I can sort of glean that they're trying to explain to him that he actually can take his finger off. And so they're like, okay, you know, do it again, bro, do it again. And so the older guy, he kind of starts laughing. He's like, oh, here we go. You know, he's really going to take his finger off. And so I look at him, and I go like this. And he's like, ah, ha, ha. And I go like that. And right as I went like that, he goes, ha, ha. He couldn't believe that this guy could take his finger off. And of course, afterwards, you know, they're all looking around. How did you do that? You know, and they're trying to do it themselves and this sort of thing. But I'll never forget being in that completely different culture, the different country, different language, all this kind of stuff. It was one of the experiences that really shaped who I am today. Now, that particular project that we were working at, they have two career missionaries, a husband and a wife, and they had been there for 20 years. Now, these husband and wife, they really understand the culture and language very well, and it's awesome just to see them interact with the local people there. Now, one day, the husband, he was telling me a story. He said that there was a sick girl way up in the mountains that he got word of. And so he said, well, I'm going to have to go see what's up with her, you know, maybe bring her back to our clinic here. And so he walked all the way to this girl's village, and he sees this young little girl sitting there, and she wasn't doing very well. She had measles, and she was dying from measles. So we started to ask around, you know, is there anyone who could help him carry this little girl back to our jungle clinic? Because there aren't any cars that could carry this person back to the clinic. And so, you know, he asked a few people and they said, you know what, I can't do it. I've got to take care of my rice field. Or they said, you know, I got to go gather some food. Everyone had a problem and they couldn't, you know, they couldn't help him carry her back. And so that husband missionary, he said, all right, well, I guess, you know, I'm going to have to carry her back myself. And so he put her on his back and he started going back to the jungle clinic there. And he goes down these mountains and he goes up these mountains. And remember, like I was saying, these mountains, man, they're really slippery, they're muddy, it's really hard going. You can stick your hand out and you can touch the trail right in front of you. They're super, super hard to climb. And so he's doing this all while he has a young girl on his back. And so finally, after 3 hours hiking up and down these mountains, he gets back to that jungle clinic. And there we had some nurses, and he was able to give her over to the nurses. They were able to give her some medications and really help her to get back on the better track to health. And so as he was telling me that story, I was really thinking to myself, you know, like, what drives a person to do that? You know, no one even knows this little girl. Like, she, basically no one would even know if she ended up dying in the jungle. It would just be her, except for the fact that this husband missionary, that he had the love of Christ inside of him. And he was like, you know what? This is my sister in Christ, and she needs help, so I'm gonna do whatever needs to be done to help her out. A few days later, they actually had to evacuate this young girl to the hospital down at the main town there. And so that husband missionary, he went and visited her. And as he walked into the hospital there and he walked into her room, he looked down and he saw her sort of cuddled up on the floor there. And as he looked at her, she was really shy and, you know, she didn't really want to look at him. But when she looked up at him, she gave him a smile. And when he's telling this story, he says, you know what? That smile made everything worth it. Just to see the smile on her face, that made all that climbing, all that hard work of carrying her, that made it all worth it. When I think of that man, that is just amazing, that type of love that he had for her. And I think that that is just has to come from Jesus. Now, in the Bible, we know that Jesus, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And Jesus came to earth to save us, right? And so, if we put those two things together, we can learn that the reason that Jesus stayed on the cross was the joy that he had in maybe seeing us be in heaven one day. And that was enough for him to stay on the cross. You might think, oh, the joy that was for him, that was him knowing that he was going to resurrect the following Sunday. But no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the joy that was set before him, you and me being in heaven, that was enough to keep Jesus on the cross. And I think, man, that is just a crazy love. Now for you and me here, we might be saying to ourselves, you know, I'm not a missionary in the Philippines, and I'm not Jesus hanging on a cross. I'm not dying to save the entire human race. But, you know, Jesus tells us that we need to take up our cross daily. And maybe we're not missionaries. Maybe we're not just like Jesus hanging on a cross. But we have a sphere of influence where we can share the love of Christ with others. And the coolest thing about sharing the love of Christ with others is that when it gets shared, the person who receives that love, that they want to go share that with others. That's what happens. Jesus came to earth to start a movement, right, that would reach the entire world. And that can only happen when Jesus shares love with us, and then we go share that with others. And then those people share that with others. And that is how how the character of Christ gets spread throughout the entire world. So I want to encourage you, I want to encourage myself, everybody, that we need to be intentional about thinking, you know what, how can I share the love of Jesus with those around me today? Because I might not know it, but I'm actually contributing to a movement that Jesus started thousands of years ago when he hung on a cross. Now, love is going to look different to different people, different cultures, different languages, different races. You know, it's going to look different. But what it's going to revolve around is sacrificing ourselves for the betterment of our fellow brethren. So let's take the love that Christ has showed to us and go show that to everyone else around us.